WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are listening to us on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. You can also follow the channel there. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, that's fine too. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. We got some stuff to talk about tonight, and then we're doing something completely different than we've never done on the show before.
We're doing a list. There's no worthy wrestling discussion to be had, and so we decided to do something a little different. We're going to talk Fortnite tonight, which is our other great passion. Not really at this point, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea. But we're making a list of Fortnite POIs, so you can check that out here in a little bit in the back half of the show. But we have news to get into, don't we?
We do. We have news presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211.
And by the way, really quickly, before we jump into the news, programming note, there will be no Fortnite with Friends tonight, in part mainly due to the fact that Omega has had a family emergency slash tragedy, and so he will not be around. So out of respect to him and his family, we are not streaming Fortnite tonight.
And there's 4 days left in the season. There's nothing to do.
Well, I wasn't going to say that part.
Well, I said that Sunday. Some reasoning. This was decided before everything that happened.
Yeah, but just...
But we will be live Saturday with content.
Yeah, we will have... Yeah, at least three of us will be live. We will let you know if there are any updates on him, if he lets us know. We have not spoken to him yet. We're giving him space because obviously he is bereaved right now. So, respect to Grandma Omega. She was... From what everything I ever heard about her, she was an amazing woman. So, there you go. All right, let's get into the news.
Presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211.
Yeah. So, couple big stories this week, but obviously the biggest one, I think, is that WrestleMania tickets have officially gone on sale. You can go to Ticketmaster.com.
They go on sale Tuesday.
Fine. They're officially on sale Tuesday.
They were announced that they'd be going on sale this week. They'll be on sale on Tuesday.
Well, by the time some people listen to this, they may be already on sale.
I'm just pointing it out. They're coming on sale.
God. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so you go buy your WrestleMania tickets. It's not going to be full capacity. It's not announced how many are going up for sale, but I would probably believe it's about 20 to 25% capacity of the stadium.
Tickets range from $35 all the way up to $2,500.
That would be front row.
That'd be front row, the front row pod. Everything's going to be sold in the pod, whether it's one to up to eight, I think, in a pod.
I want to see how they do the pods. It might be more than 20-25% if they're doing pods. I don't know, though.
Like, it's not like they're not blocked. It's like how they're going to be split up. It's a section of eight apiece, and then you spread people out. They call it a pod. They're not going to be glassed off or anything like that.
But what if they were? What if they were in, like, their own little, like, tents? Have you seen, like, those little tents that, like, the high school band or whatever was using?
No.
In practice, where they had their own individual little, like, bubble?
No, I haven't seen it.
They could do that.
They could, I guess. But yeah, if you want your tickets, they would probably go really, really fast. No, Brent, no.
No. Well, I mean, maybe. It depends how bored the crowd gets.
I mean, the time intervals could be, hey, here comes your food.
Pretty much.
When you go out and get your food. But beyond that, no time intervals for your pods. Not those. It's not a chamber pod section of tickets.
Yes.
That's all. But go to www.com for more details on your tickets. They'll be sold for, we'll have limited 2-day tickets and a lot of individual day tickets.
Yeah, so if you want to go both days, you can. Just depends how much you want to pay for it. There's also been announcements for the WWE Hall of Fame in addition to the 2020 class going in. They're going to announce a class of 2021, and we have our first inductee.
It is the one and only mighty Molly Holly. Shane Helms was on the bump with her on Wednesday and broke the news to her. And he couldn't even get it out. He was so happy and in tears and everything. It was awesome.
It's so well deserved for her. It's been a very, very long time coming, and I'm happy that she's finally getting her due.
So what's going to happen, chat, is this. The WWE Hall of Fame will be available exclusively on Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide. But you're always only going to just hear Peacock for now, till it gets in everyone's brains. Just for any Canadian listener, it'll be on the network. So that'll be on Tuesday of WrestleMania week. So you're going to have the 2020 class and the 2021 class. I'm surprised they're doing a 2021 class, but it's WWE. They're back in business with WrestleMania. So, yeah.
I think it makes sense. They might do a smaller 2021 class just because they have the last year's class that has to go in. And they might just have a smaller one this year. You know, just to basically balance it out. But I mean, I feel like the class of 2020 definitely got shafted because everything shut down. They did not get to have the ceremony. They didn't even really get anything. It got delayed. There were talks of if they were even going to do it or if they were just going to kind of send them their rings. So they're trying to do right by everybody here. And as we know, WWE has a plan for everything generally. I'm sure they have a plan for the Hall of Fame. I would not be the least bit surprised if a certain dead man is slated to go in next year because they're going to be in Dallas. So, unless he goes in this year, which he could. So, it makes sense that they're trying to just do what they can with the Hall of Fame. That's going to be essentially a hell week in terms of content. Jesus.
If you go to-
There's something every day.
If you go to the pinned tweet on at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, you can see what our broadcast schedule will be that week.
Okay, I need to yell at people real quick. Everybody complaining about so much content, WrestleMania week. All of you assholes with the sound of my voice that wanted WrestleMania and NXT to be two damn days. This is all your fault. I blame all of you. Every single last one of you that advocated for it. All your fault. We are literally having 7 days of wrestling because of you idiots.
I mean, technically like 9.
I'm only counting the 7.
Because then there's the Raw after WrestleMania and then possibly NXT.
I'm going to be so hung over from wrestling. It's not going to be funny. Once we get into the next week, it doesn't count. 7 days. 7 straight days. Raw. Hall of Fame. NXT Night 1. NXT Night 2. SmackDown, and then Mania.
We're back in business.
I hate you. All of you. This is all your fault. Not really.
Also, those complaining that WWE's putting out all this content and the other company, you know, making arguments, oh, well, the other company did Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 3 hours, and Saturday and Sunday last week.
Oh, but that's on YouTube.
It's content. It's the same content.
I mean, one could argue that technically, because it's on YouTube, and even here, you don't have to watch everything that WWE is putting out. You can obviously, for the Hall of Fame, you can consume it later. You don't have to consume it on Tuesday. Like, pretty much all of this, you can watch it on demand if you want. Thank you, technology. But for our purposes, we have to watch everything.
I have to watch everything live.
Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to watch the Hall of Fame live. I haven't gotten there with it yet. It all depends on how I feel.
We'll watch it live. We'll probably sit here and watch it live.
I have to sit here and comment on the dresses.
Yeah, that's what she does. But that will all be available on the WWE Network, which is moving to Peacock, starting on March 18th.
Ding!
And we have some updates.
We do have some updates, so go ahead.
If you go to peacocktv.com/WWE, you can get into a new offer they're offering right now. It's a limited time. For just $2.50 per month for the first 4 months, you can get Peacock. That's basically the price of 1 month of the WWE Network. That's a great deal. Offer expires on 4/9. So sign up now. So for those who have been WWE Network subscribers, your subscription will not carry over. March 18th is the official launch. April 4th is the shutdown of the network here in the U.S. No, they're not jacking it up. They'll jack it back up to $4.99. So, still half the price of the network. When you get the WWE Network on Peacock, you'll have its own dedicated page at the top of the screen, and you'll have access to the last calendar year of, content, including Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions, the WWE Chronicle, WWE Icons, new weekly episodes of NXT the day after they air, and 2021 replays of Raw and SmackDown 30 days after they air, groundbreaking documentaries including The Undertaker's Last Ride, WWE 24, and WWE Untold Reality Series, including Total Bellas, as well as collection of feature series, topical moments like Stone Cold Steve Austin Week, and playlists showcasing current WWE superstars. Over time, WWE Network content will be added to the library, including every WWE, WCW, and ECW pay-per-view event in history by SummerSlam. That's my biggest issue, it's by SummerSlam. I was very worried about this. Very. Lindsay knows. I was worried. Then I read some stuff, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, basically they have to migrate the content to different servers, it sounds like, and it's a massive-ass amount of content. And so they have to just take the time to move it over and make sure it all imports and sets up properly, because they have to get it in the system, they gotta get it organized, they gotta get it ready to go. So, and that's probably what they've been doing for the last few months to get the content that they have ready to go, is they've been importing it in, setting it up, getting everything ready, testing, all that other stuff. So when this goes live next week, it's good to go, and then gradually they will start to add more and more content, unless they have everything, and they're just adding it slowly. Because again, ultimately, this all has to be added by hand in some way, shape, or form, and it's just, it's like, what, 19,000, 20,000 hours, something ridiculous like that?
At least. So what I was worried about, because there was people talking about how a lot of the content may not make it over, the vice president of Peacock mentioned by SummerSlam, everything that's currently on the network will be moved over. So that gave me some relief. It's like, oh, I'm feeling some of the stuff I really like is not going to be moved over. Okay, it's going to be there by SummerSlam. Okay, I can deal with it. Kind of sucks. I'm with some of it. But a lot of it's coming, going to be over. All of it should be there by SummerSlam time, which is good, which is why they're giving you the deal the first 4 months. Try out the service. Give them some time to get everything put over. For all new subscribers, they'll be in the U.S. So Peacock is available on Xfinity X1, and Flex. Cox customers also available on Roku, Apple, iPhone, iPad, iTouch, Apple TV 4K, Apple TV HD, Google platforms and devices including Android, Android TVs, Chromecast built-in devices, Xbox, Xbox One S, Xbox One X, PS4, PS4 Pro, and the PlayStation 5, as well as your Vizio SmartCast TVs and LG Smart TVs. It is even available on your Vizio.
Dang. It's pretty much available anywhere you need it to be available. I need to see if it's available on my TV. I have no idea. You just read a massive list.
Except it's not available on Fire Sticks yet.
Well, I don't have a Fire Stick, so I'm good. But between any of those devices he mentioned, I'm sure I can get it one way or another. But yeah, so it's good news for the WWE Network. So just give it, give it time, be patient. Eventually everything will be there. It's just going to take a couple months to get it all over and ready to go. But the important thing is it is going live on the 18th. You have until the 4th to migrate, and then they're going to shut you down, and they'll probably be blocked out of the WWE Network from there.
Yep, and that's when all the new exclusive content starts, called Hall of Fame, NXT, the replays, and all your takeovers and WrestleMania stuff.
Yeah, so fun times. Speaking of fun times, someone's back. Managing people. They're in power, guys. That's right, Mr. People Power, John Laurinaitis, is somehow the general manager of talent again. I have no idea how this happened. No clue. I'm feeling a little uneasy about it, to be completely honest.
Hopefully things will be okay. But yes, John Laurinaitis is now the general manager of talent. He's taking over a lot of responsibilities from one Mark Carano.
So I wonder if Mark Carano is leaving.
Or got demoted.
Or got moved up.
Or got demoted.
Or he got demoted. Poor Mark Carano. He had that glow up. He had that epic level glow up, man. And he gets demoted. That sucks. But yeah, no. Congratulations to John Laurinaitis. I'm a little uneasy. No, we don't think he got fired.
No, I don't even think he got demoted. I'm just making a comment. I know there was some...
There's shifts.
There's heat on Mark Carano with how he handled things last year.
Yeah. No, the only reason I'm like a little hesitant about John Laurinaitis is because basically the diva era where the women... basically became just like nothing was under his watch. So it always makes me really, really nervous when he kind of rears his head because it's like, oh God, please no.
But the one saving grace is the twins are family now, so they probably won't let him, you know.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
I don't know how much pull they have with him, but yeah. So congratulations to John Laurinaitis as he returns to managing people and being in power.
People power.
WWE people power. I hope he has his white suit ready.
People power.
WWE has hired Kevin Patrick to be a new backstage announcer and commentator. So congratulations to him.
He's worked for the Big Ten Network. He's worked for BN Sports. He's worked for CNN International. So it's cool.
He worked with Atlanta United. He's British.
He'll be hosting Raw Talk and a bunch of other shows.
So it seems like they're shifting people around again a little bit.
Because I think Charlie's moving up the ranks into ESPN.
Wouldn't surprise me. She's extremely talented and deserves the world. Moving on to AEW, we have a couple notes on them. No, we are not talking about the disastrous explosion that occurred at Revolution, although... that was very unfortunate that they had performance issues.
You can go to see reallive.com here, a 2.5-hour recap of the whole endeavor.
But they did have two worthy debuts on Sunday. You had Ethan Page join the ranks of AEW. He was a part of the 6-man brass ring match for the chance to go against the TNT champion.
Yes.
I do pay attention.
He did not win, but yes. He was involved. He's formerly of Impact. He's a nice quality young signing for them.
Yes, he is. And then in some surprise, but not really a surprise because I think everybody had kind of figured it out, Christian
Cage
made his debut for AEW.
TNA theme and all. The instant classic.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Let it out.
I mean, if it's what he wants and it makes him happy, then what I say has no bearing. And what I say has no bearing anyway. Because it's his decision. He's a grown-ass man. He can do what he wants. I don't know. I find it strange because it's like he could have gone to AEW at any point that he wanted to. He could have gone to really any promotion that he wanted to. He didn't need WWE's blessing to go, but for whatever reason, he waited to get WWE's clearance. And then, obviously, I think his intent was to re-sign with WWE when things broke down between them because essentially he wanted to work full-time. They did not want him to work full-time. They were not willing to pay him to work full-time. The talks broke down and he went to Tony Khan and Tony Khan was like, yo, let's go.
So what happened was Mox called Christian and got in his ear and was like, hey, why don't you come here? So he thought about it. He's been friendly with Tony Khan over the years and one thing led to another and Christian's now in AEW to apparently challenge their world champion.
Right off the bat. Wins and losses, everybody. Wins and losses. I think overall this is a good signing. I think Christian will bring a lot to their locker room. He has a lot of knowledge. I hope they have him as kind of a quasi-coach for their younger talent, similar to Big Show. I hope they utilize Big Show and his knowledge and experience with the younger talent to help grow them. I always get really, really concerned when companies do this because the easiest comparison, and we've made this before, is Impact. When Impact kind of was on the rise, because for a long time it was Jeff leading the charge and you had a bunch of young talent under Jeff and they had built the roster and they built it well. And then they went over to Spike and they got the deal with Spike, which was fantastic. But Spike was like, hey, we want you guys to have a household name on your, or a bunch of household names, or we want you to sign a bunch of guys and we'll help you pay for them. But basically we need draws. And so what Impact did is they proceeded to sign a bunch of established older talent, including guys like Christian, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Sting, Kurt Angle. The list goes on and on and on and on of all these people that TNA brought in at one time in rapid succession. And what it did was it kind of bloated and choked the roster a little bit, and the younger talent suddenly didn't matter as much and got pushed down and kind of got lost in the shuffle. And you had a lot of really good people who over the years had worked their butts off to get where they were kind of fall by the wayside. And I think that's my concern with this here. Even though you have the older established talent working with the younger talent in AEW, they're being a little bit smarter because you have like Jake the Snake managing Jake Roberts, and you have Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, or Tully Blanchard and
Arn Anderson are managing different people, yeah.
Yeah, and JJ Dillon is with them, and
Taz, go with Taz. JJ was a one night.
Okay, fine. Taz and who else is there?
Vicky Guerrero.
Sting. Vicky Guerrero. She was with Nyla Rose. Sting is with Darby Allin. So you have them working with the younger, less established talent to, I think, help get them established. But it's like Sunday, Sting got the pin. Which, well, why did Sting need to get the pin? Why couldn't Darby get the pin?
You know, reasons.
And I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying that's my one concern when you have a bunch of signings right there together, because like you've done Sting, Big Show, and Christian within, I think, what, 3 months of each other?
More specifically, Big Show and Christian within 10 days of each other.
Yeah, and that's just when you see that kind of stuff, it's like, okay, I get it. They're on the market. You want to snap them up. You want them to mentor your younger talent. Respect. Absolutely respect. But at the same time, I hope their roster doesn't get bogged down by older established talent who start taking those spots, because at some point they're going to become what they hate. They're going to become WWE that puts the part-timers or puts the older talent above their talent that are there every week, especially if they sign somebody like Brock. Because if you think Brock's going to work full-time, you're wrong. Anyway, NXT?
Let's go to NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Adam Cole died for his sins Wednesday night. He died at the hands of Finn Balor, and then he died again at the hands of Kyle O'Reilly.
He did, but we'll get to that. We'll get to all that. It was a big night. We had big announcements. We had big announcements from Royal Regal to start off the show. As mentioned in the news, NXT TakeOver is two nights. It's Stand and Deliver.
Why?
Because they were doing a show on Wednesday anyhow.
It didn't need to be two nights.
But they were doing a show anyhow on Wednesday.
I understand that. They could do the show on Wednesday. They don't need to do the show on Thursday, too.
So NXT TakeOver will be on Wednesday at 8, and Thursday at 8 on Peacock will be the second episode.
We have shows to do, damn it!
Which will be live after NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2.
I'm so bitter.
But the second announcement happened to do with the NXT Women's Division. He has the roster to come out. They have a big roster of women down in NXT. Some we've seen, some we haven't seen. He brought the winners of the Dusty Classic into the ring. And after what happened last week, William Regal decided he's tired of people, you know, making decisions for him. So he's going to make his decision for himself and for the brand. So the NXT brass decided what's best for business is to bring in their own tag team titles and give them to Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. And then, as they were baby faces for a little bit, they're now back to heels. Dakota and Gonzalez bragged for a bunch of time. Ember Moon and Shotzi came out saying, hey, you guys are champions? Great. You guys need challengers. How about us? And Regal's like, you make my job really easy. So tonight, it'll be Dakota and Raquel versus Blackheart and Moon for the NXT Women's Tag Team titles.
I hope they do more with these titles than what they did with the regular ones that are currently just on Raw and were for a long time and never really ever got defended or thought of. Like, I don't know how I feel about this.
They have a large enough roster together to make it work.
Oh, I know they do, but just given how the other ones have gone, I have concerns.
I wish there was more build up to it. Maybe they could have just given them the belts after they won the Dusty Classic. That would have been cooler.
Yeah. That would have been probably a better decision, but here we are.
Here we are. We've come to this decision and, you know, we'll go from there. So we'll see what happens. Our opening contest of the evening was for the NXT Women's Championship. You had Io Shirai defending against Toni Storm. And I'll say this. I expected more.
It felt like they got held back. It felt like they did not hit that next level gear. I mean, the match was good. They had some really good spots in it. Toni, with that Shawn Michaels-esque look. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You just keep doing that. But yeah, this, in comparison to the other matches that they've had, I feel like that this was not as strong or as competitive. There were often times where I felt like they were working really, really safe with each other. Cause you could just kind of see how they were working together and it was just a little strange. But it was a good match, but I wish they'd let them go a little bit longer.
A little bit longer, a little bit stronger, but I did like the picked up it towards the end. I did like that how Io won without the moonsault, but with a crossface, so that adds a new dimension to her, which is needed.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't have her win with a moonsault all the time. It's kind of like Kari saying every time she hit the elbow, it's like you knew it was coming, and even though it's a spectacular elbow, at some point it's like, okay, yeah, here she goes. She's going for the elbow. Okay, yep, 1, 2, 3, there's the finish. So the fact that you gave that level of unexpectedness to Io, I like that. Her arsenal better.
Mm-hmm. Pete Dunne stretched Jake Atlas for a few minutes.
He had fun.
And then was like, hey, it's the time to step up their game and you're gonna step up against me because he's the best technical wrestler in the world.
I mean, there are people that would argue with him, so we'll see who argues with him.
We had Marcel Barthel, Alexander Wolf, and Fabian Agner backstage and talked about Timothy Thatcher was once part of Imperium way back in the day and how there's a spot open for him in the group. Agner said they're looking out for Tim and they'll ask Thatcher to, they'll even allow Thatcher to ask Ciampa if he was able wants to come on over. So we'll see how things go there.
So basically, we need a fourth because Walter doesn't want to be here all the time. You want to join? We'll let you bring your friend.
Later tonight, the friend is like, I'm not so much interested in Imperium, except for the guy overseas. I like him. I want to fight him.
I mean, Walter versus Ciampa, that would be violent.
It would be. We had your NXT Women's Tag Team titles on the line, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez taking on Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. Really good match. And new.
I'm sorry. I feel like they did Dakota and Raquel really bad here. Like, they just did them dirty.
I saw this comparison online, and it's a good one. Dakota Kai is becoming the Tommy Dreamer of NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of is. It's really sort of sad. Like, you know, they had them lose to Shayna and Nia. They put on a really great show with Shayna and Nia, and they're like, oh, hey, you know, y'all kind of got screwed. And, you know, rather than giving you another match against them and having you win those other titles, or rather than giving you these, when you won the Dusty Classic, hey, here's your consolation prize. We're going to toss you these new titles. And then you're going to lose them within like 30 minutes of getting them. Not even, I think, actually an hour. Like,
yeah, an hour.
They had them about an hour, then they lost them. Like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, I'm really happy that Ember and Shotzi won them, but it's like, you couldn't wait a week on that. Like, you couldn't wait for Ember and Shotzi to, you know, make the challenge and then go for it next week, and at least that way Dakota and Raquel would have had them for a week and it would have been a little bit more respectable than an hour. Like, that's, even though they're the inaugural and they will always be the inaugural, it's like they only could hold on, they basically got them as a consolation prize and then they couldn't keep them. So they really, basically what that says is they were not worthy of them from the beginning.
So we're backstage and Shotzi and Ember are celebrating. All the baby faces are happy. Candace and Indy, well, they weren't.
I love Indy Hartwell's facial expressions. They're just fantastic.
So Johnny was running around. They ran into Johnny, who was looking for Austin. Now they found him. And Austin, they asked, why did you pay the therapist? He said the therapist cost money. Oh, yeah, good point. And then he was very sad about finding that Dexter didn't like him, and how they made mention that Dexter thought Austin's abs were mediocre. That upset Austin Theory. He ripped off his shirt and, you know, got very angry. It's Austin Theory and Dexter Lumis next week.
That will be very interesting to watch. We'll see how Dexter reacts with that. Because, again, he's been very silent since Austin got away.
Xia Li beat Kane Carter via DQ. We had crutches involved. So, there was one spot where Xia almost whacked Casey in the head with the crutch.
Yeah, that was bad.
We had Mi Yingo do the Rusev Crush sign.
I have one qualm with this.
Uh-huh.
And it was after the match where Xia's getting beat up, right? And she's selling the paint. And she's like, no, no, please stop, stop, stop. Don't hit me anymore. Stop, stop. Okay. You had her get tortured for a month to turn her into this badass, right? Part of me kind of wishes she just, like, no-sold the pain. Like, pain doesn't bother her kind of thing. Because then it's like once she got knocked out of the ring, Boa got in the ring, and Boa got beat up with a crush by Casey Catanzaro. And Boa was like, ooh, ow!
And then broke the crutch.
And then they broke the crutch. And then he broke the crutch. And then they left. So is this weakness from the two? Do they need to go back to the dark room?
They need more punishment.
They need more punishment. They need to be punished, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, that was my only thing. It just kind of took you out of it for a second because you're like, wait, so Xia Li's supposed to be this complete badass, but yet she's like, no, no, please stop, stop. Like, that was what got me, was her begging them to stop. It's like, no, no, you're supposed to be like tortured and stuff, to like brainwashed and all these things. Why are you telling her to stop? I'm pretty sure the scary lady in the chair can do worse things to you than what they're doing to you right now. I think she actually had, but that's just me.
So we got a promo from the NXT Cruiserweight Champion Jordan Devlin. Remember him? He's tired of the weather in England and in Ireland, and you can't have the largest takeover without the Cruiserweight Champion, and he's on his way to the U.S. to confront Santos Escobar.
LeMans, I have no idea. I know nothing about the lady in the chair.
Yes.
Other than she's got, like, a scale male mask, and how do I get that job, by the way, of just sitting in a chair and looking, like, pale and scary and shit. I know nothing about her. I don't know who she is. I mean, I would imagine for Jordan Devlin, the weather probably is shit right now. Good on him for wanting to go to Florida. But Santos is pissed.
Santos was up in Regal's face and all that stuff. He's calling himself the real Cruiserweight Champion, and so I guess we're going to get that at TakeOver. Jackie Wilder and Raul Mendoza made their way to the ring to take on the grizzled young veterans. They got Miguel Del Fantasma got the win. We had MSK beat down the grizzled young veterans. And then we had Breeze and Fandango show up to beat down Del Fantasma. Then they all danced.
MSK was in space suits. It was a little confusing.
Yeah. Mackenzie was interviewing Dakota and Raquel. Raquel was upset about losing the titles. And then Io Shirai goes up and I want you. So good for the champion to make the challenge.
She's eliminating threats. She sees Raquel as a threat. Obviously, this is why Dakota and Raquel lost the titles. Were because Raquel is going to get a challenge from Io Shirai and possibly win the title off of Io Shirai to become your new NXT Women's Champion.
Yep. And then in your main event, it was the NXT Championship on the line. Finn Balor, Adam Cole, baby.
It's like I said at the top of the review. Adam Cole died for our sins.
So Adam Cole's on the outside of the ring after this really good match. And then he looks into the crowd area and there is Kyle O'Reilly just staring him down.
Lurking in the shadows, pissed as hell, and all black, is Kyle O'Reilly.
It wasn't even black. It was like blue. It was like a blue jean jacket, I think.
Like blue and black. It was dark colors. He was dressed to blend in.
So Finn Balor rolls to the outside, hits the 1918 on the outside, brings him in the ring, hits the coup de grace. There's your win.
I think my favorite thing about this is like the whole time Finn's like looking between Adam and Kyle, and Kyle's like, no, no, go ahead, finish. Go on. Go ahead.
And so he's sitting in the corner, and Kyle gets in the ring, and he's just looking at all of it. It's like, go, all right, go, whatever. And then Kyle goes for Adam, and Adam's backing off. Adam goes for the low blow. Kyle blocks it and rips the Undisputed Era armband off Adam Cole.
That was a nice touch. That was such a nice little touch.
So Kyle went after Adam Cole. Referees got involved. There's still more multiple pull aparts. He goes for the brainbuster on the stairs, but gets pulled apart. More pull aparts as Kyle chases Adam to the back. Great stuff there.
If there isn't a fine on Kyle O'Reilly for the assault on the multiple referees, I don't know what wrestling is anymore, because he like beat up three referees trying to get to Adam Cole. Meanwhile, Finn Balor's just sitting in the ring watching this whole thing go down. He's like, okay.
So before we get to war with Finn, Kyle tweeted out, he may have set himself back 2 or 3 weeks.
It's fine.
But it was worth it.
It was worth it.
That's what he said, it was worth it. So we're back in the ring, and the camera cuts to Finn. He goes, What took you so long? And then Shadows, Karrion Kross.
I don't think I ever realized how fit Karrion Kross was till I saw him standing next to Finn Balor.
Big dude.
Like, it looks like a dad and his son. I'm gonna be real. Like, he's tall and he's thick. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just like, damn. That's a size difference.
So that was NXT.
Overall, this was a good show. It was an entertaining show. Cameron Grimes took the night off to count his money. He tweeted that out. They're going to move forward, and hopefully next week's good.
On the two nights.
I don't want it.
Of takeover.
One night. It could be one night, and it would be fine. Like, two nights, excessive. It's just too much.
Let's go to break.
I blame everybody.
Let's go to break.
All right, so we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're going to change gears. We're gonna talk about where we're dropping. We are gonna rank Fortnite POIs in a tier list, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Yowie wowie, we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays, once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hi, I'm Barbie Blank, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you want to follow for free for 30 days and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can do that. Just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe. It's that simple. You can also follow or just hang out and chat. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm sorry, I stuck a whole ass cookie in my mouth right before we came back from break. And my mouth is like partying because it was a Girl Scout cookie and we all know how Girl Scout cookies are. Related question, can you order Girl Scout cookies year-round using their website? Is that a thing now? I need to know for personal reasons. Not that I'm going to order like $30 of cookies, but, you know, I might. Does anybody know? Anybody? Anybody have a Girl Scout?
I'm researching.
You're researching? Okay. All right. Rock will get back to me, but while Rock is researching, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. Among Us. Hi. Intel Gaming. Hello. Can I interest you in a fresh, refreshing bottle of Dondu? Pool Shark. Dondu. Does he know Donkey Dick?
Don Kedick.
Oh, sorry. My mistake. PowerPoint. What's your pre-presentation ritual? Drew Gulak. Where do I begin? And now, ladies and gentlemen, the mini roast of AEW Revolution.
We told you on CBR Not So Live this was going to happen, so here you go.
I'm sorry, this is what Twitter was made for. You think we're not going to do it? You're insane. All right. WWE Creative Humor. Guess Tony Khan spent too much on signing Christian for peeps that he had to skimp on the explosives budget. WWE Creative Humor. Headlock Comics. The real takeaway is that the entire AEW roster, with the exception of Eddie Kingston, were pretty okay with letting Jon Moxley die. He should probably skip the company picnic.
Yeah.
Not a lie.
Yeah.
Bacon. After the ending of AEW Revolution, I no longer think AEW can call their show AEW Dynamite. On Wednesday, because it was more like a TNA explosion.
Get it.
Complete with graphic. AEW retweeting. Don't be underwhelmed. Eddie Kingston clearly prevented Moxley's limbs from being torn off from the fireworks show. There's a picture of Kingston laying on Moxley's face. Scott Fishman. Only in pro wrestling are we disappointed we didn't see the ring actually explode with people in it. We are a unique bunch. I mean, yeah. WWE Creative Humor. Nothing prepares Jon Moxley for parenthood quite like an exploding barbed wire death match. Gotta gear up. The Bronson Corporation. But cold. They've taken the tweet that Tony Khan put out on February 28th and made a few edits to it. I'm sorry people had issues with the goddamn bombs not going off. I was promised multiple times by our partner that the big-ass C4 clusters would leave a smoldering crater in the center of the ring. Since that's not the case, I've just blown up all of Southeast Florida.
We want a dusty divot.
Damn it. Tim A. Darkness 429. Watching Genicles, PvP, Chads, and Dorms. You don't want to miss this. With the gif of this is going to be a disaster. Pool Shark. Going to be running around in circles endurance training while Genicles uses garbage tier gear even though she has 35 million rubles. Genicles. I hate both of you. That's all I have.
Michelle Fishman came back to Twitter to try and figure out how Sparklers gave Eddie Kingston a damn stroke. Kyle Lewis replied. Someone goes, this has got to be the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. That was on March 7th. Someone goes, Gallows goes, it finally happened. Shockmaster, go. You are now free. Diana Rossini, this Oprah sit down with Meghan Markle is like the XFL version of the network interviews. There are no rules. Dr. Lupo, shooting Darkness 49's legs until he feels pain. Tim A goes, oh, I fell today. On today, of all days, Tim, of all days. Ammunition. I haven't said anything spicy on Twitter today, so I just want you all to know that I think pineapple pizza is really tasty, and I also got bored playing Breath of the Wild. Okay, have a good night. Miss Click goes, I went from pure happiness reading the first half of the single to a single tear shed by the end. Sad face. Lupo, I'm down to fight her together if you want. Pineapple does not belong in pizza. Just making that a fact.
It does not. It absolutely does not.
So there we go. That's sweet week. So what we're doing now, ladies and gentlemen, is what is called the tier list. It's been a big thing on YouTube forever, and it's become a Twitch thing for a little bit here. But we're doing a tier list on Fortnite POIs. As you can see, there's a bunch of POIs you can see on your screen. We have the names of them all, and we're going to rank them from S to F. S being superior, top tier, all the way down to the crappy ones, in our opinion. Not because they may be the best POIs on the map. We're going with our opinion on what we think is a great drop in Fortnite Battle Royale. This is in prelude to the brand new season of Fortnite coming on Tuesday.
Woohoo! Which means I will be doing my bi-yearly stream before work.
Before work. At twitch.tv/lindsward, which is the same as our Twitter.
Yeah. Which means I probably will be testing at some point over the weekend to make sure that, like, it's all good.
So, with that, you can also use credit card Rocketsock in the Fortnite app shop hashtag epic partner when you buy the new battle pass. Let's go through the list, shall we? So you're going to read the name. We'll start at the top. You read some names, and we'll rank them accordingly. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, what's first?
Let's see. Let me get to the names. All right. Let's just go in alphabetical order because that's how you have it. Because
that's how the pictures went. Or mostly, I should say. Mostly.
Anarchy Acres.
I think a C.
I'll agree with that because I think I landed at Anarchy Acres a total of 3 times before it went away.
Before it went away. I can't say it's a D because it actually had decent loot. But Anarchy wasn't bad. So we'll give it a C. All right. Okay. What's next?
Camp Cod.
I mean, it's not S tier. It's a great drop for us, but it's not S tier.
Okay. Are we talking about this in terms of solo, duos, or squads? All three?
How you feel about it?
It was great in the beginning, but I feel like now I'm going to put it probably at a C or a D. I love COD. Don't get me wrong, but there's not enough loot there for a squad, and the IO guards are a problem. I know it's only for one season, but they're still a problem, and I hate that they put them there. So I'm okay. You're gonna put it at a C.
I started where you say. I'm gonna listen to your argument. We can move it.
But yeah, I mean, it's like in terms of the loot spawns and the IO guards and the sharks and everything, it's not as great of a drop as it used to be. Also, it's a tough rotation.
Yeah. As we've improved as a group, we have gone there less because it's a struggle rotation. We've been able to rotate better at different spots. So yeah, I don't think it's D because the one value it has a lot of loot spots.
It does. When they all spawn, it's a great place to loot. And it has enough, but with them reducing the loot spawns, it's tricky.
But between that and fishing holes, it's a great spot if you need loot. So I'll go see on that one. For now, we can adjust as we go.
Okay. All right. Colosseum. I don't think I've ever actually dropped here.
Other than challenges, I've never dropped there. From aesthetically, it looks great.
We got a win there, which was good.
We got a great win there one night. Sad you guys never saw it. We tried. Yeah. I tried making a clip.
Goddamn updates.
The mini updates they throw, the maintenance patches just screws up replays. Let's tell them what happened. We sat down in the bottom of Coliseum and got a win as all Switch were battling above us and they couldn't come down to us.
Yeah, it forced a heal off and eventually we got trapped down there and they got trapped above us. And, well, we were able to stay in the storm longer and heal longer and we won.
Because they're just build battling above us and we went down below and win.
Hung out.
I say a D.
I'll go with a D. I don't like the fact that you can't break the exterior walls. That's a huge problem.
That's a big, big, big miss on that part, yeah.
But aesthetically, it's beautiful. I love the rotating battle plans. Like, it's not static. It changes depending on which game you're playing, so you can get, like, a water battle, or, like, a non-water ship battle, or, like, just generic, like, chariots and stuff, or the crab and the llama fighting, or they had fun with it, and they did different things with it, so aesthetically, it's really very beautiful, but from a looting standpoint, from a fighting standpoint, we just don't drop there enough to really know, but we do die outside of Colosseum a lot, so it's kind of a sweaty spot to me.
I would agree.
Alright, Coral Castle.
Looks great.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's aesthetically, it's gorgeous.
It's an F.
It doesn't have enough loot.
Tough rotation, doesn't have, it's too spread out. You don't get enough mats out of it. It's a complete F. Visually looks great, but you don't want to drop there ever.
Unless you have to.
Unless you really have to. It's a terrible drop though.
It's a terrible fighting spot too. It's a bitch to fight at.
And if you get stuck down there, you gotta have your mats and you waste all your mats digging yourself out of there.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Just put it at a net. Or I'm sorry, we're not there yet. Craggy Cliffs. You know what? I'm going to say this is a B.
B, really?
The loot's okay for solos and duos. There's almost not enough for a squad. It's a better rotation now that they've got the giant ass island out of there and it's not in the way anymore. But it's a good spot. I like it. I enjoy it. It's just, when the loot doesn't spawn where it's supposed to, it's a little tricky.
I thought A, but a B is fine. I'll go with B. I might take your argument on that one.
If we would have 100% chest spawn, it would be a fucking S. Because if all the chests there, if everything spawned, there's a lot of loot in Craggy. It just, not everything spawns all the time, which sucks.
Okay.
Our home. Our native land. Just make it an S.
Dirty Docks, S. Has all the loot you can ever need. Boom.
It's done. It's big. It's got enough loot. It's relatively easy to fight in. It's a good rotation. We love it. We're partial. We're completely biased.
Yep.
Dusty Divot.
Yeah, Depot. Dusty Depot.
Let's just do Depot and Divot together.
Okay.
Because it's the same spot. One is just a giant hole.
No, it's actually, we're going to put Divot, or we're going to put Divot as a D because there wasn't a lot of loot. The hole, I'd go B.
I didn't drop there enough to know, so I will take your argument on that as yes.
Because once you made the, because once you moved, they had the hole, it was a tough rotation spot, but there was so much loot underground. So much loot. So we'll go with that.
Every time I went through Divot, it had already been looted generally. So I never really ever got to loot Divot.
Yeah.
And it was,
yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, once they filled it in with the trees, it was actually a little bit better of a rotation spot because you had the cover of the trees and you could get up in those trees and you could just hide. So it's like a S tier hiding spot.
Mm-hmm. That's why I go with B.
But I mean, in terms of like loot, I can't say enough for loot to know for sure.
And I apparently added this one, so we'll put this one too as a D. The new Dusty.
Yeah, it's kind of right there. It has decent loot. It's smaller, but it has a lot of chests with it for being a small drop. So
I'll put it as a D.
And it has quality hiding spots, which I appreciate.
All right, what's next?
Fatal Fields, which saw almost as much bloodshed as Tilted Towers. That corn is from the depths of millions of players. I hated Fatal. I hated rotating across Fatal. I hated everything about it till they added the corn. Like, I had decent loot. It was okay, but it was so open. And then you had that house up on the hill overlooking Fatal, which was just like the perfect snipe spot.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a tough, tough place. I'm going to put it at a D. I'm going to be real. I just did not like Fatal that much. I didn't necessarily enjoy it. Like, it was a cool spot. It was a farm, but it was big. It was spread out, and it was open as shit, and there was nowhere to really hide outside the buildings. And if you ended up, like, getting across from a team, there was, like, nowhere to go. There's no way to get away from people.
Okay. So the next one we're going to do is the filming warehouse all the way back in chapter one that was outside of Junction.
Oh, the movie studio.
The movie studio, the filming location. I would say that was, that would be D, but a high D.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cool spot. We dropped there on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good, like, alternate to Junk. I would almost put, like, with it and Junk together, I would say it would make a solid C or a B. Just because between those two spots, especially as a squad, you could get enough loot. But the film studio on its own, no. Junk on its own, eh. But the two of them together, because they were right there together, gave you enough loot. Because I used to drop the film studio when we would drop Junk, typically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. The other home. The other native land. The original home and native land. Flesh Factory. Not the new flesh, because the new flesh is kind of crap. But the old flesh. The original flesh. Just put it in an S. Just do it. We're biased, but the original Flesh Factory, it had a lot of loot. It was a little big, but where it was on the map, it was a good rotation spot. You could get out where you needed to get. There was, if you needed to, like, just get up on the hill, you could do that. So, yeah. Flesh Factory. Here we go. S tier. Our home.
Okay.
Frenzy Farm.
It
had a decent amount of loot.
It did have a decent amount of loot.
It's not as bad as Fatal in terms of rotation. It had a lot. It has more tiers and hills and stuff, so you can use the natural terrain to kind of hide from people. It has big cornfields. It has a lot of the healing.
I'd say C.
Yeah, I'd give it a C. It's a good solid C. It's not as terrible as some of the other farms we've had.
Fort Crumpet.
It's not.
It is. It's down below. These were added afterwards. But I'm going off the images. That's all.
He's trying to mess me up, chat.
That's why I brought up the name up. Fort Crumpet.
It's an F.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's just not enough loot there. It's kind of out of the way. Aesthetically, it's cool, but it's just kind of there.
Okay.
Frost Stiflight.
I can go two ways. It sucked, but it also had really good loot.
I would say it's an A or a B just based on the loot. It was kind of a shit rotation, but if you had the planes there, it really wasn't that bad to get out of.
Once you lost the planes, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was horrible once you didn't have the planes anymore, because you just could not get out of there. But when you had them, it was a really great location spot, or a rotation spot. Because it was out of the way, you could drop there, you could loot up, and you could go. And it also had some really great hiding spots associated with it.
I'd give it a B.
Yeah, I'd give it a B. I'd say it's a B.
We've not had an A yet.
No, we haven't.
Okay, next.
Greasy Grove. I never dropped here unless I had to.
Except, we never dropped there, but we would always rotate through it. You got the win there.
The win. The OG win.
The OG win. Think of that alone, it makes it a C.
Yeah, I mean, it has decent loot.
It had houses. It had it was pretty good. But it's not, yeah, it's not a B, it's a C for us. Because once you put ice over it, it was not as good.
Yeah, oh god. yeah, they put ice over it, and that just, like, was terrible.
Okay. Speaking of ice, the snowy part of the map.
Happy Hamlet!
I didn't like Happy.
I liked Happy. I thought it was cute.
Right. So
it had a lot of loot.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to navigate.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Misty currently.
Yeah, Misty's essentially Happy. I mean, it has a lot of ups and downs and turns, which is great if you're fighting and you want to chase people. So it's probably a really good fighting spot. But, I mean, in terms of Happy, I would give it a C.
Okay. I agree with that.
Haunted Hills.
I loved Haunted Hills. So cool.
I miss Haunted.
It was a great drop. Between the castle up top and everything down below, it was a great drop. However, it's not S tier. I think this is our first A.
Yeah, I would give it an A.
I think that's
once
our first.
Once they added the castle to it.
It was a good drop. It had a lot of loot.
Again, it was one of those out-of-the-way drops that it's like if we had to rotate out of junk and we could go along the backside of the island to rotate to get past Pleasant, you could stop in Haunted, you could loot up real quick, and then you could keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially if you had to head south, like that was a really good drop.
Okay.
Do that.
So that's our first A of the night.
Woohoo!
All right, next.
Just put this as a D. Holly Hedges.
D, really?
It doesn't have very good loot for the size.
Yeah.
And it's a tough spot.
Okay.
We've died there a lot.
Yeah, we have. That. I was thinking C, but because of the deaths we have, yeah.
It's kind of a little bit of a hot drop, which we shouldn't hold that against it, but here, I'm going to hold it against it.
But here we are.
Hunter's Haven. I think aesthetically it's cool. It's a good loot and run type of spot, but I'm going to say it's not a good drop spot.
So F?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I kind of put it in an F.
Okay, I don't disagree.
Sorry. Like, it's cool, it's pretty, it's just, I mean, I appreciate that they gave everybody houses on the island. That was nice of you, saying that you never gave Midas a house, and he probably had to sleep under his desk at the agency, which was just really rude. He didn't even really have an official office, which we'll get to. Is the agency on this list?
Yeah, it's all the way down, yeah.
Okay, all right, we'll get there.
It's under the category.
Okay, all right, well.
Because there's a lot of items that start with the.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
All right, Junk Junction.
I say C.
I give it a C. Yeah, it was solid
loot, out of the way, nice safe drop at times.
At times, yeah. It was a really good spot. It was home of Native North.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're first starting out to play, it's a great spot to go because nobody really drops there. Just like Flush, just like Dirty, some of these other places where it's like they're not as hot, so you can kind of get your bearings, loot up, figure out your rotations, and then as you get better, you can start to play versus dropping hot every time. It's just, that's not for everybody.
Okay.
Lazy Lagoon. I thought this was the coolest location.
It was really very aesthetically pleasing. It had a lot of loot. A?
Yeah, I'd give it an A. It was a good rotation spot. If you had to drop there and it was off the line, it was a really good place to drop because you had the volcano right there. You had the vents right there when they were working. You could rotate as you needed to. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Okay.
Lazy Lake in all 40 incarnations.
No, this is Lazy Lake in this movie. Lazy Lake. Wait. No, that's Loot Lake. That's coming up. This is Lazy. This is in current map.
Oh, Lazy.
Yeah.
Lazy. I'd give it a B just for the loot because there is a lot of loot there.
Yeah.
But I don't really drop there. It's not my favorite
place.
It's
a hotter drop. Lazy Lake. Lazy Links, the golf course.
Honestly, it was cool, but I'm going to give it a D.
Yeah.
It didn't have a ton of loot. It was big. It was open. There weren't a lot of hiding spots. Like, it was cool that they put, like, a 9 or an 18-hole golf course in the game for the season to match up with the golf carts. But it was sort of the clubhouse and the pro shop and maybe a couple cabins along the way, and that was, like, kind of it.
It was cool aesthetically, but terrible loot.
Yeah.
I'm throwing the curveball into you, the Locky's Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse. It's a D.
Just want to make sure we got in there, that's all. It's a D, yeah.
It's a great solo spot to drop, but if you drop there as a squad, you are screwed.
All right.
Lonely Lodge.
So, Lonely Lodge is basically in the position Dirty is in currently, minus the 10,000 trees.
That was the best place to hide and do Outlast challenges, was Lonely. If the circle went lonely, it was like, oh yeah, I'm getting my Outlast done.
It had decent loot. I say C.
I put it at C. Again, it was one of those really good coming out of Hero, you needed to like loot and rotate really quick. It was good for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you needed to drop somewhere out of the way, it was good for that.
Okay.
Because you had your option of Hero or Lonely.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to talk about Loot Lake and all 40 incarnations.
The week it was pink, it was awesome.
I miss the week it was pink. It was so much fun. Honestly, I'm going to say it's
terrible rotation. Hated crossing it. There was not much loot. Terrible.
It was it's just this giant body of water that did not cooperate you. And if you had to run across it, God help you, you were dead.
Yeah. Lucky landing. C.
Yeah, I won't argue with you on that. I think it's a C.
Decent loot. It was our backup location at times. See?
Yeah, it's when Flesh was overrun. It's like, go to Lucky. Go to Lucky.
Mega Mall.
I don't know how I feel about Mega Mall. I'm going to be real.
Look cool. It's not as good as retail. D.
Yeah, I can agree with that. All right. Misty Meadows.
Good old Misty.
I'm going to put it to C.
Yeah.
It's a little big, it's a little hot, but it has a crap ton of loot in it.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
And it's, again, it's a good loot and go spot when you're rotating. Oh. Oh, Moisty. Moisty Mire. The OG Swamp. How I love thee. It's a D.
Moisty was a great place to do stupid human tricks.
Yeah, I would put it higher for the stupid human tricks, except it really didn't have a lot of loot in it. Except for like the movie studio area, that had a decent amount of loot, but it was big, it was spread out, it was hard to rotate through, from what I remember, but it was a very cool spot on the map. I kind of wish I could go back to Moisty and see it one more time, but I can't, and it sucks. I miss it.
The prison was not, it was outside Moisty. We're going to get to the prison.
Yeah.
One that's not where in alphabetical order, but the motel / the umbrella. Remember the umbrella in the map? It was carved into it?
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going C for motel and motel.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Yeah, decent loot. It's a good rotation grab.
Alright, Neo Tilted.
I hate Tilted in any incarnation. But it had good loot, or had decent loot. Honestly, I kind of have to put it at a D. It was a little hard to navigate at times.
Okay.
It had the loop-de-loop with it, but it was, in terms of getting moving around the buildings, it was a little tricky to move around them and get up and down and that kind of thing. So, and it was the hottest drop ever.
Yeah, it was.
Until it wasn't. So, you know, there you go.
Paradise
Palm.
B.
Yeah, it had good loot. It was a great drop spot for us when we were a squad and we needed to go there.
Pleasant Park. And it's many incarnations. I say B or C. I love when it had an underground thing. I didn't like Doom.
I like Doom's house. I didn't like Doom.
Maybe we go B.
I would give it a B. It has a good amount of loot. It has good history. It's actually a good rotation spot or a good drop spot when it's not hot.
Yeah. All right, Polar Peak.
Polar. A. Polar, when it wasn't hot, was a great, great drop spot.
Once he got rid of that sword, it was good. It was a solid drop spot. Pressure plant.
Honestly, I'm going to put that at a D.
I was going to say F.
Okay, yeah, we can make it an F. I won't argue with that. I mean, it was basically there to serve a purpose, which was to build the mech.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was there for. It had not a lot of loot. It was tricky to get around. You couldn't get all the way to the bottom. So, and the problem is if you couldn't build over it where the fans were. And so if you tried to build and open a chest, you would lose the loot, and then the loot would end up falling in the bottom, and then you couldn't get to the bottom to get to the loot. So it was really, really just difficult to work with.
All right, prison.
Oh, prison.
I say B.
I would say, yeah, let's make it B. It was a good spot.
But not a great spot.
It was home and native. I actually don't remember dropping prison that much. I remember you guys play, like watching you guys play at prison, but I don't remember dropping prison that much, because I think by the time I dropped, it was, or started playing, it was gone.
Why isn't it an A, Brent?
Oh, Brent, if you wanna argue for prison, you gotta come fight your corner.
So, you know, it's a B. It's a sign. All right, what's next?
It's a B, unless you want to come fight for it.
Doesn't seem like he wants to.
He don't want to come fight for his prison. Okay.
All right.
Retail row.
No, we're gonna hold off on that one. Pueblo. Why? Pueblo. Or what other names do we have for it?
Pariah.
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 Yeah.
Pariah. I'm gonna put. I'm like torn between a C and a D because I had decent loot, but it was a tricky rotation.
I say B.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
So much loot. It had great loot.
You can eat and argue at the same time, Brent. You're talented like that.
I say B, you say D? So we go C?
Yeah, let's give it a C.
Okay.
My whole thing that kind of disqualifies it, like I said, was the rotation. It was very, very tricky to get out of when the storm was right there and it was not, and the circle was far out.
Okay. One more curveball.
Hmm.
Racetrack.
Which version? Both?
Both. I know you liked Racetrack.
I liked Racetrack. I thought it was a good drop. I would set it as a B. It had good loot.
Okay.
And honestly, when we were coming out of...
Pleasant.
No.
Not Paradise.
Paradise, yeah. Where you would rotate out of Paradise because we would come out of Plebo. We'd come out of Pariah, we'd rotate to Paradise, we'd loot at Paradise, and then we'd go to Racetrack real quick. Or if we needed to drop at Racetrack, or if we were like Lonely or Hero, we could drop at Racetrack and we could get loot. So yeah, it was a good spot.
Ice Cream is part of Racetrack, Brent.
It's adjacent.
Yeah. Retail Row, now we can get there.
Honestly, I'm going to say it's a B.
Yeah.
It's a hot drop, but it has good loot. It has a lot of loot.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Rickety Rig.
I'm going to put that as a B. That had a lot of loot. It was a bitch of a rotation spot, but once you got rid of the guards, there was a lot of loot to be had there. This, plus, it had the vault.
This is not to be confused with the rig. This is the second version of it.
Okay. It still had a lot of loot.
Okay. Because we'll have the regular rig, too, coming.
And it still had the vault.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? No, put Rickety at a C.
Yeah. You like the rig better.
Yeah, I like the rig better.
Okay. Risky Reels. Old school risky. It was great. Except for that week 7 challenge, where everyone was going for 7 chests.
Notice they've gotten away from that, by the way, with the challenges.
Yeah, it's been great. Between a B and an A, I think I lean B.
I would say it's a B. Yeah, I think it just doesn't quite have the loot for it to be an A, and it's more of a rotate-through spot than it is a drop spot.
Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Salty Springs. You put that bitch at a D.
Right next to Salty Towers.
Both of them, right there, together, do it.
Done. Next.
Hate both of those places with a passion and those challenges. Go loot Salty Springs for all 3 chests that are there and fight 20 million people for the 3 chests that spawn. We're not making them an F, Brent.
No, not enough. Throwing a curveball?
Hmm.
Because you love them. Shantytown.
Oh, the Fishstick Village?
Yep.
That's a D.
Yep.
That's not a lot of loot there. It's a good spot on the way to things, but it's not like you don't drop there unless you have to.
Shifty Shafts.
Oh, I hated Shifty. I hated Shifty so much. It was the hardest fucking place to navigate. If we had to rotate, we died there so many times.
D.
Yeah.
It's not an F because it had decent loot, but it's a D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did not enjoy Shifty at all. I was very happy to see it go. Slurpy Swamp. Honestly, I'm gonna put that at a C. It has good loot. It has shield for days. It's a good rotation spot. I'm except for the IO guards. I'm gonna say it's a C.
Okay.
Snobbishaws. This is tricky.
B or C?
I was going to say it was a D. C and a D. I'll go with C. I can do C.
We'll go low end C.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, it had decent loot, but that was a tough rotation spot.
It was a tough rotation spot. Stark Industries and the entire thing. What a surprise. I say B.
It had good loot. Like Heart Lake had, because nobody ever dropped there. Like
everyone was focused on the towers.
Yeah, everybody went to Stark. Nobody went to Heart Lake. So if you could land at the lake, you could just go to all the cabins and get loot. And it was a great, great spot.
Brent's not happy with us.
Brent, put your food down and come argue with us if you don't agree with us. Otherwise, you have to accept it.
All right, we're moving on.
Starry Suburbs. Honestly, this was an F.
Yeah.
It was cute as shit. Like, aesthetically, it was adorable. From a drop standpoint, from a loot standpoint, it was terrible. It was like this little... I always felt bad for it, because it was kind of this little afterthought that got put in at the very, very tail end of Season 10, right before they blew the island up. It barely got to live.
Like, what they call it is, like, there was broken houses back there from the early seasons, and they brought it back as this new POI thing.
I really like the architecture of it, like aesthetically. Like I said, it was adorable, but the loot, a drop spot,
the loot stars were cool.
Mm-hmm. They were cool. It was a very cool concept, but yeah, in terms of just everything, it wasn't in the game long enough to really fall in love with it.
Mm.
It was so sad. It was in the game, I think, for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and then it was gone. All right, the Stronghold that has a predator in it now. Is it wrong? I want to say it's an F.
Look at where my hand is on the screen.
Like, aesthetically, it's cool.
It's an F. Complete F.
But, you can't break the walls. It's hard to get around. It has the whole underground part, which is nice, but it just does not have a ton of loot in it. It's hard to fight in. It's just difficult. It's just really difficult. Like, it's like I said, aesthetically, very cool.
It's an F.
It's an F. Steamy Dax. I kind of want to say it's a C.
Yeah, middle of the road C.
Like, it has decent loot. It's a pretty good rotation with the stacks. It's out of the way.
I go C.
Like, it would score higher if we still had 100% loot spawns.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there would be a crap ton of loot there. But as of now, it's kind of a C. It's a little bit tricky sometimes when not everything spawns. Sunny Steps. I hated dropping here.
It's a terrible drop.
I hated fighting here, too.
But it had a lot of loot.
Oh, it had a ton of loot.
C.
Yeah, let's put it to C.
Sweaty Sands.
I just saw your note about the Girl Scout cookies. God damn it. Open it up year-round, you cowards!
Sweaty Sands.
It has a lot of loot. C?
Yeah, mid-C. All right. The Agency.
Why didn't you give Midas a house? Everybody else had a place to sleep. Midas has to sleep under his damn desk. You telling me that, like, Midas just never slept? That, you know, or did he just live in that secret underground lair under the agency that we never ever got to see? Like, I think that's the one thing that bummed me out about that season, was that Midas had this whole secret underground lair, and I know that they have limitations on what they can do, but y'all put the damn grotto in the game, and you can't give me Midas's underground lair with his secret office and the device and everything? Like, you can't put it in the game so I can run around it? The hell? Epic! I understand that your designers are busy. I understand that it's a lot to do, but god damn it, that was a missed opportunity.
But he's currently sleeping with the fishes.
He's not dead. He has boobs now.
Where are we putting the agency?
The agency was the hottest of hot drops. I hated that place so much to drop there. Like, it's like, if you had to go to the agency, it's like, I'm going to die.
So, where are you putting it?
I'm going to say it's a C.
Okay, authority, same thing?
Yeah, authority is the same thing. I would make the authority a D.
Okay.
Because of the walls.
True.
You couldn't break through the walls on the authority. And so you only had so many ways to get out of there, especially when the water was high. So it was really difficult to sort of get through.
All right, the block.
He's not dead!
The block. I say B.
I was going to say an F, because depending on what you got, determined everything.
So I go high, you go low, so...
Like, the concept of the block was really cool, but, like, depending on what they picked for it, you could get decent mats or you could not, you could get decent chests or you could not, and depending on what it was generally really hard to fight in or around.
So, D?
Yeah, let's go with a D.
Mindy. All right, the Fortilla.
I didn't like the Fortilla.
D.
Yeah. It was hard to get around. Had decent-ish loot, but it was difficult to get around. And the murder sharks were a pain in the ass, along with the murder henchmen. The grotto. I miss the grotto. I miss the grotto because you could rotate over from dirty, and you could get those chests on the outside of the grotto and possibly infiltrate your way in to get way more loot as an adjunct to dirty, and it was just great. Because the grotto was really good for, like, going over and getting ammo.
B.
Yeah, I'm gonna say a B. Plus, it was just cool. It was just a really cool location. Like, they did a nice job with it.
Alright, the orchard.
Eh?
F.
Yeah. It's just kind of there. It's great for heals. Like, it's perfect to grab heals if you want to, but, I mean, in terms of a drop spot, it's no fun.
The rig.
I miss the rig. It's such a good spot. I know a lot of people are going to fight me on this, but I miss it. There was so much loot on the rig, and once you got rid of the henchmen, or if you dressed up as one of the henchmen, you could get a ton of loot. Plus, it had Tina, so you could get the bow. You could get the key card. It's kind of the same thing with the grotto. You had the vault, which had like the super chest and shit in it.
So are we going A?
I kind of want to put it as a A, yeah. Where do we put the grotto?
B.
Move the grotto up to an A. Same. Can you tell what I miss?
Mm-hmm. So we're putting the rig up to A?
Yeah, put the rig as an A.
Okay. All right, the shark.
No, wait, no, wrong shark. Okay.
I know what you were memeing there.
So the original.
The original.
Shark.
Yes.
Was great.
Yes.
Loved everything about it aesthetically. Hated fighting Sky. For some reason, that little twit would just not die. Decent-ish loot. It was a little hard to navigate. When it became the prison, I didn't like it. Like, it was cool. I still want to know who was in the little cell on the outer island. I'm assuming it was Vitus, but I don't know. Or it could have been Jonesy.
Could have been.
They could have had it set and ready for Jonesy.
Middle of the pack C.
Yeah, I would give it a C. Like, it was a good drop spot if you needed to go there, because not many people drop there. But it was just kind of a pain in the butt all the way around in some cases.
The yacht.
Jesus, there was so much loot here. Oh my god, you just had to get around all the guards and yowsels and everything. But if you could, like, that was the thing. It's like the shark and the yacht and the grotto and the agency all and the rig all had the vault, and that's like their one redeeming quality, aside from the fact that most of them were really pretty cool, was that they had the vaults. If you got that vault, it's like you could get shield and heals and weapons and ammo for days.
See,
yeah. I like the yacht personally from an aesthetic perspective. I thought the yacht was very cool and beautiful. At least the first version, the Deadpool version, I kind of wept inside a little bit, like I died inside. And then when they just made it a rusted out shell, it's like, it was, again, it was cool. Like, aesthetically, it was neat, but it was like, oh, this used to be so pretty.
Tilted.
Honestly, I never dropped Tilted enough to know how much loot is there.
D or an F?
I'm going to give it a D.
Okay.
Just because I feel like giving it an F is really, really biased.
Okay.
Because I did hate it. I hated Tilted so much.
Tomato Temple.
I liked Tomato Temple. You hated Tomato Temple.
No. I liked Tomato Temple. I love Tomato Town.
In terms of loot, the temple was pretty iffy.
I say it's a B or a C.
I would say a C. Like, aesthetically, it was very, very, very cool. But from a loot standpoint, it was crap. And then on top of that, we died there a lot.
Tomato Town.
I'm going to let you argue this one.
Just an A.
There you go.
Just an A. The bunker, the rotation from it, the houses behind it. It was a perfect little town. It didn't need a whole shrine to the tomato.
Yes, it did.
Could have put it on it somewhere else on the map. Mm-hmm. A.
You're a heathen.
All right. Hero. Or villain, I should say.
Villain was cool, but villain was a hard rotation spot. That's the only thing about it.
So we're going to combine villain and heroes together as one.
Okay, no, we can't, because they're two different spots.
Well, I don't have the picture. I thought I had the picture. I only have one.
Okay, hero had the best, I mean the best, hiding spot in all of Fortnite Battle Royale. The single best. If you had to do an Outlast challenge and you were trying to go for a no-kill win, you go for the lip outside the hangar on hero, where you just chill on the side of the island and nobody sees you. I mean, nobody sees you, especially if you just hole up and don't move. The best hiding spot.
Okay, so we put Hero as a B or a C?
Hero, I'm going to say as a B.
Okay, and just villain?
Villain's a B, but villain was a hard rotation spot.
Okay, so they go there. All right, Volcano.
Aesthetically, it was cool. From a loose standpoint, it was terrible. It was an F.
Okay, Wailing. High D.
Yeah. It had decent loot, especially when they put the little underground part under it. It got really, really, really good. But prior to that, it was just like, oh, God, spare me.
Weather / Catty Corner.
Honestly, I'm going to say it's a B. It had a vault. It has good loot. There's a lot there. It's just a little hot on occasion.
And Weeping.
Weeping.
Is a D.
Yeah, it's a D.
So, that's our list.
Ta-da!
Two S's, six A's, and the rest is just there.
I mean, overall, depending on where you like to drop, because obviously this is all, you know, based on opinion, and people have their favorite drop spots, and that's what they're going to pick. But for most of the part, a lot of the drops are just middle of the road.
Yes.
Excuse me.
For competition, there are great spots. We're not for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of basing it on the season one map. When I started playing, I don't have great memories of places like Tilted or Greasy or Retail or Dusty, because it was always like, at that point, I was just trying to hide and be as unobtrusive as I possibly could be, versus now I feel like I'm a little bit bolder.
So that's our show.
So yeah, so you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Maybe we'll do more of these down the road when we have time.
Yeah, because we're not going to have time in the future.
This summer, we'll have more time. Probably. Once we get past WrestleMania. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight is another edition of CBRO, CBRO.com. Check out CBRO Not So Live, AEW Revolution Edition, now available. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. We'll be previewing Fastlane next week. Yay. Rack Radio Show on all your social media platforms. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The Rack Radio Show on all your podcasting platforms as well. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKSUCK in the Fortnite item shop, # Epic Partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can also check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.